Well, what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, all right, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hey, this is St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward. It's, if you're listening to this live, it is Monday night at 9 o'clock on local FM 107.3. So you've tuned into this show, and if you ever miss a show, you can listen to the podcast version. I don't know why I need to get into that right at the top. You're listening to it now. I don't need to tell you how you can listen to it another way than what you're doing right now. But you can tell your friends, hey, I heard this show on Monday night when I was driving around in my taxi cab or just staring at a wall in my sad apartment that only contains a stool and a radio. And you can tell them that if they have a computer, they can listen to it there. I would have thought the most notable news of this week is that I finally went back to work after being on a prescription for 3 weeks of vacation. Nothing terribly exciting happened. It was just another normal, bland day at the office. No interactions with management or HR about anything. No indications that anything will become less depressing in the future. But we'll see how that goes. Since I was going back today, last week was my last week of freedom, and Thursday night last week was going to be my last weeknight where I don't have to work the next morning. And I used to, when I first started doing comedy, I used to go out when I was working weird shifts or not working at all. I'd be able to go out on a weeknight and just find myself a corner in a bar and have a drink and maybe write some little stories in my phone. So I was getting ready to play some Resident Evil 7. And I decided that I'm going to go paint the town red by sitting alone in the whiskey bar with an old-fashioned, and went over a set, and that was fun, but they closed down early, and there was the one guy there. It felt kind of weird being one of two people in an entire establishment, and neither of you are acknowledging the existence of the other, so I was going to head down to another bar on the boardwalk, but as I was walking around the corner, I ran into a comedian friend of mine who happened to be headlining the local Comedy Corporation show this weekend, and I saw him out in front of Big Tide, and I said hello, and I followed him in and hung out, and my friend, another friend of mine was there, another local comedian, and some other people that I did not know, but we hung out, and I had a good chat, and with the two guys that I mainly knew, and as I explained a little bit last week, I've been reticent about the new comedy overlords that have rolled into town. I've tried to be diplomatic. I try to not get too down. A lot of people are doomsday about it, but I've always taken the kind of wait and see approach. And yes, I've heard sketchy dealings, but they never did anything to me. So no reason to get upset until I have a reason. And as I explained last week, I've been trying to I've been doing a little bit of brown nosing. Not so much that I'm totally ashamed of myself, but I've just been trying to be a nice person to deal with and just to express my interest in maybe participating in this thing. Because when I started doing comedy in St. John, New Brunswick, there wasn't anything going on. Shane Ogden has been putting on shows since 2009, but they were more It wasn't a regular thing. It was like a couple of times a year, and even as a comedy fan, I didn't even know about it until I had already been doing comedy for a couple of years. But yeah, and that's still going. So Shane definitely started it in St. John, but there wasn't really a way in. That was a show where there'd be like a professional headliner and maybe some local people, but nobody was up there doing their first set. So I did what I could around town, whatever open mics would let me not play a guitar while using my mouth at the same time. Made my way there, and I started doing my own show. And other people have followed in my footsteps. Other people have started doing their shows. Big Time Big Shot came into town around the same time, and he's been doing shows, and Shane's been doing more shows, and everybody's having a good time, and there's lots of shows. So this outfit gets wind of it because of a local investor, and they decide to set up shop, and I feel like that makes sense. We're all a little skeptical about the viability of such an outfit in a relatively small city with a new but burgeoning comedy scene. We don't know how it goes, but a stage is a stage, and I wanted to get on it. I went to a couple of shows and had a pretty good time. It was a nice place, and I looked forward to just that being another option that has propped up in our fine city, and I've been waiting for that to happen patiently and trying to just wait my turn, but I've been having sketchy dealings with people, and anyway, I'm hanging out with my two comedian friends who happen to be working this weekend at the place, and they said, no, come down to the show on Friday night, and I'll talk to the guy, and we'll get you on there for 5 minutes, which isn't a big deal. I just was curious to do it, and I had kind of given up hope because I had no luck through the traditional channels, but these guys said they would both ask the guy, and I could get a spot, and it would be no problem. So I go to the show. I get to see the green room for the first time. It was nice, and I'm hanging out in there, and the headline comes in, and sees me, shakes my hand, says hello, and then he presumably goes off to talk to the owner about me doing those 5 minutes, and he comes back in the room with a sullen look on his face, and he just said, John, I'm sorry. Apparently, the owner has gotten word from on high, from back at corporate office, that specifically John Forward is not to appear on that stage. And apparently it is because of, quote, what happened in Halifax, which I'm not sure if I mentioned it on here or not, but I did work for the corporation in Halifax. I did a full weekend middle spot, 20 to 25 minute sets in Halifax back in September, and I did good on Thursday. I did good on Friday. I'm not saying that I, like, killed it. I didn't shake the building to its foundation, but I did pretty good. But then Thursday night was a sold-out show, and it was sold out by people that were there mostly for a silent auction out in the hallway as a fundraiser for a girls' volleyball team, so probably not a John Forward crowd. I should have maybe changed up my set. Like, I certainly didn't do my most offensive stuff, but I didn't. It was it did well, and I've done well with similar material, some of the same, for geriatric crowds in my day, and it usually goes over pretty well. But this one, 2/3 of the way through, I started hearing people audibly say, "No, oh, stop!" And I thought it was just a couple of bad apples, so I said, "Hey, oh, you guys have had enough? You're really gonna like this next one because it was gonna get even dirtier." But then I said, just as a throwaway, not expecting a response, "Have you guys had enough? You want me to go?" I say sarcastically, which they responded with 175 people, sold-out audience, all applauding for me to leave the stage. And they were done, and I was a little taken aback by this. I did not go on a rampage. I did not scream the C word into the microphone. I did not scream anything. I just said, all right, well, enjoy the rest of the show. Let's get the host back up here. And they all applauded, and the host came back up, and they liked him much more, and the headliner did a great job. And I felt sorry for myself for a bit, but everybody who's worked with the corporation said no big deal. It's not like somebody sent a report off to head office. They probably don't know about it, but still paranoid. I don't know if I should have done more to try to recover it. I definitely should have been able to read the room earlier than 15 minutes into my set. That's on me. And I've worked on coping mechanisms since then to avoid situations of shame such as that. And I came out of it a stronger, better comedian, and I don't think I've had a bad show since then, except for the time that I unsuccessfully tried to host Sunday afternoons. But aside from that, I didn't know if I should have tried to recover and failed. I don't know if it's a kind of do your time thing, or if it's, yeah, sure, they hate you. You might as well spare them the pain of another 5-7 minutes and kept the show going, and people would leave happy. But I don't know, maybe somebody who sold 100 tickets to their friends and church group were upset and contacted the organization. So the blacklist comes down from above, and I can't say I'm super surprised. I was pretty bummed out. I didn't end up staying at the show. I stuck around for a bit of the host because I hadn't seen him before, and but I was just in a real sad sack mood. So I went down to hang out with my wife and her grandfather and some other family members at O'Leary's on a St. Patrick's Day, and it's certainly saying something that was the better option for my night on Friday than going to the comedy show at the big pro fancy pants place. But, so that's a real bummer. I understand, like, whatever. Somebody that lives in Toronto that works in an office who's never met me, fine. You're allowed to make that decision, but I'm kind of upset about the local guy who's been looking me in the face for these past many months while I enthusiastically tell him what a nice club he has and how I would like to see that stage. And he just says, yeah, sure, we'll get you up here someday, when he full well knew that that was not the case. I don't know if this is temporary. I don't know if it's forever. But from what I gather, when you cross paths with the corporation, when you're burned, you're burned. And I'm not the only one. And what else was I going to say about this? Yeah, so I'm not going to go to war on this. I'm mostly over it. I'm still not happy about it, but I'm not losing sleep over it. But I'm not going to war because I don't have to. This selling shows 3 nights per week every week in St. John is not an easy task, and I applaud at least the local guy for trying, but that's a tough sell. And showing they've been kind of booking extra stuff to kind of squeeze some more use out of the space. There's been music after the shows to sell a few more beers. They've got a hypnotist going in there on an off night. I mean, like, it's not like it's a competition for me. We're offering separate things. It would have been nice if I was able to be part of that, but I've been putting on shows since before they got here, and I'll be putting on shows when they're gone. And if you're listening to this show right now, I assume you've either seen one of my shows or you haven't seen either. But I encourage you to go out and see a show at this place and see what you think. Form your opinion. Go to both and see which one you like better and do what you need to do. But for the comedians out there, I'm not gonna blacklist you. It's not gonna be like, if you do this show, you're not allowed to do mine. And I'm not gonna give anybody grief for doing it, because it's not about the comedians. This is about the sleazy business people in this scene, not the comedians that are causing stuff. So just comedians, if you're going to get caught up in that business, just be careful. And they do sketchy stuff like this all the time. And audiences, just think about whether or not you want to see a comedy show where the comedians have to be careful. Or if you want to see a show that doesn't have any overhead, there's no sponsors, and there's no jokes barred. And that went longer than it was supposed to. I was going to even talk about the show on Saturday at the R Bar, but you should have been there. It's indescribable. The Coles Notes versions were somebody looked me in the eye a half hour before the show and barfed on their table. I did so-so, but then there was a loud, drunk regular dude in the front, and we had a bit of a tangle, and that was interesting. Lots of great sets. Thane Fox made his return. Sam Laidman was nervous and wasn't even going to show up, but then he pulled it together and had a great set, as did everybody else. Matt Keenan, though, he wasn't there. Were you at the open mic in Millville?
Cheating on me. Yeah, well, Sabrina promises more mic time. Well, not, she said 15-minute sets and potentially two sets, so.
Fair enough. The air bar's not going anywhere. You don't need to be at every show, but those few words were my guest, Matt Keenan, and those are the only couple of words that I'm going to allow at this particular time. We're going to take a quick break and play some Buck 65, and then we'll come back and talk to some Matt Keenan for real on St. John Forward Radio.
Professionally fresh on display, like, hey, take a picture. It's not a dream, I'm flat out gorgeous. Maybe it's because I eat a lot of oranges. I don't know, I can't help it. I'm not even trying, really, I'm hot. You think I'm lying? Look at my ass and pants, give it more than a passing glance. Stare at it a while, compare it to a peach. Each cheek, if you can bear it, breathe me in deeply. I'm like an airy breeze, whispering, blowing through the branches of the cherry trees. I'm a treat, I'm a nice little surprise for your eyes. Look too long, though, when it could be your demise. It ain't a disguise. I'm flyer than an eagle, sky's the limit. Besides the fact that I'm barely legal, it's too easy. I'm sorry, I can't help basking in it. Bad news, I'm getting better looking with every passing minute. I'm pretty, pretty, but I take it all in stride. Thing is, I'm even more beautiful on the inside. And I'm nice, so nice, with a winning smile, I'm stylish. In fashion, make a wish on my eyelashes. I'm magical, actually, casual, traditional, mystical, in top physical condition. Well-oiled machine, perfectly peachy keen. This freaky really equally squeaky clean. Frequently, I look good and you look good, but not as good as me. I'm so dope. I look good and you look good, but not as good as me. I'm so dope. I look good and you look good, but not as good as me. I'm so dope. I look good and you look good, but not as good as me. I'm so dope.
Oh, damn it. You're not supposed to be on continuous Spotify. You're supposed to end at the end of the playlist. Why was it on shuffle even? Amateur hour. It's still going. I didn't even stop it. I just messed with the volume. So, how's it feel to be on a professional radio show like this, Matt Keenan?
Better than the other professional radio shows I've been on.
Have you done a Splodecast yet?
No, I haven't even actually talked to Mark yet. I think I saw him perform the January at the Leary's, and then I did one show at the Air Bar, and he was doing Battle of the Comedians in Fredericton, so I've never even talked to the guy yet.
Well, you can consider this your audition for a show that has far more fewer, that doesn't make any sense, far more listeners than this old rinky-dink operation. But,
sounds good.
This is fancier though. If you do the Splodecast, you'll be sitting at a kitchen table talking into a microphone. Not this whole fancy works with the buttons and sliders and blinking lights and such. But anyway, you're here because you are a fresh-faced new local St. John comedian.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why don't you tell us about yourself, what you've been doing, how you got started, why you were fool enough to try.
Oh, man.
Well, how long has it been, and how many shows do you have under your belt so far?
It's November. I think the first weekend of November was my first open mic.
Okay.
And then I didn't do anything until January. And I think I'm at 12 or 13 now.
Yeah.
Shooting for like 4 or 5 a month.
Yeah, that's usually what's... But there's more stuff coming up. There's a couple of... a couple of people are thinking about starting like weekly open mic shows in St. John. So that's going to be an opportunity. You can do even more once a week if you got time. But there might be multiple of those going on. So might be able to get in multiple shows per week like a real grown up comedian in a non St. John city. It's exciting times.
Yeah. It's a good time to be, I guess, starting out into this. I suppose.
Yeah. Well, what made you want to start? Or were you coming in it as somebody who wanted to be a comedian and you said, hey, is there comedy going on? Or were you a fan who saw comedy and then thought, I could do that myself?
I'd say Dave Chappelle was like the first comedian that really kind of got me hooked on watching stand-up.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I kind of thought, like, that would be fun to do, but I never really put any thought into it. But then I also enjoy writing, so I think...
Yeah. Well, it was similar. Like, when I was watching comedy as a kid, I never really looked at it and said, I would like to do that. I just kind of consumed it, and I guess the turning point for me, I'm not going to name any names, but I went to a comedy show, and I was going to say I saw the comedy show and I thought, I could do better than that guy. If he's on this show, then I could do it. But I think I had already started doing comedy at that point. That was what made me decide to be more ambitious about it and try to get on bigger shows, because I tinkered it with it back in the early 2000s. I don't know if you saw my my delightful boardwalk set, but that was more of a just I thought of something and I wanted to show off to my friends and got a laugh, but then I think I did like 4 shows and wasn't famous, so I gave up on it for over a decade. But do you think, what was there a moment or was there something that precipitated, like going from just watching it to I want to do it?
I don't know. I think I always wanted to do it. I just never kind of, like, I don't like public speaking. So I think that kind of, I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then, I don't know. I just, like, I enjoy writing. So eventually I just said, you know what? I want to try it and see what happens. So not out anything if it doesn't. Like, nothing's going to come of it if I don't try.
What was your first show? Was that at the R Bar or was it Something Funny?
It was Something Funny.
Yeah. So how was that? Were you nervous? Did you have a big group of people with you?
I brought a couple people. I didn't want too many people because I didn't know how it would go.
Yeah.
So it's more like I didn't really tell anyone. There was just a couple, like a few people that knew I was going to do it, but that was about it. And then I kept writing and writing and writing and writing. And then even the day of, I was like, I don't know which ones to tell. I don't know which ones to tell. And I didn't know how long I needed. So I kind of went up there with everything written.
Right.
And I was just nervous and shaking. I couldn't even read what I had written. And then, I don't know, once I got that first laugh, it kind of got a little bit better from there. And then...
Yeah. Yeah, with mine it was, I think the first, well, I don't remember what I did the first time when I did it, like, way back when I was 20, but I think on this, more recently, when I started doing again, I think I was just at a bar with some friends at a music open mic, and I was just kind of thinking, like, it just occurred to me that, I don't know, maybe I can go up and tell the story, and with then, it's kind of... I think I rambled something out for like 15, 20 minutes that I could probably tell the same story in like 5 to 7 minutes currently, and I don't really know what's missing from it. Some would argue not enough still. But how did you connect with the St. John comedy scene in particular? Is that the show that you found out about first, or...
No,
had you been coming out to shows before?
No, I didn't. I feel like it was almost like St. John's best kept secret. Like, people knew about it, but not enough people knew about it. And it was Drake Tobias. He was the one, like, me and him both, like, I mentioned it to him. And he's like, yeah, I've been thinking about it too. And then he just said, I'll talk to people. So I have no idea. He kind of just talked to people, and then he threw your name at me. He threw Mark Burnett's name at me, and then I think everybody knows Mullinger's name.
Yeah.
So kind of just went from there, and I just talked to all three of you guys, and then just, I guess, went from there.
Yeah, so what's, I've done that show, and I had a good time the one time I was allowed to do it, but being the first timer, like, how did you feel afterwards, and being able to kind of hang out and be in the green room and stuff, and eat some free pizza? It's a little more, it's more luxurious than my start.
Well, the first one, Mark was doing just an open mic before the show, after their 1 year laughiversary or whatever. So it was before the show even started. So none of the other comics were there. I think Dan McCarthy got there just as the open mic was finishing, but like there was nobody else there.
Oh, okay.
So the first
you
I did
segregated. Then.
Yeah. But
did
then
you have to use your own fountain.
No, not quite. But the first time I got on that stage as part of the show was January, and then that one I was more prepared, I think, and it went a lot better than than the first go around. But
all right, well, let's play your request, and then I'm going to ask you how to compare and contrast the two shows, maybe. So why don't you tell us about the song that you've chosen for us to listen to this evening?
I don't know. I kind of just went Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe with a few random songs, but it's a 30 Seconds to Mars song, and yeah.
So you knew you wanted to play a 30 Seconds to Mars song for sure. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, they're kind of, I don't know, there's someone I listen to when, I don't listen to music often enough, but they're kind of my go-to, so.
Yeah. I don't know if I've heard a full 30 Seconds from Mars song. I've heard of them. Not usually in a positive light, but
no, that's fine. That's fine.
But no, it's a request. I played some Tomato Tomato for Mandy Lynn, and I played, I don't remember what Matt Copeland's song was, but I was not a fan. But we try to be democratic here on St. John Forward Radio, so we're gonna play 30 Seconds to Mars with End of All Days. What album is this from? Love, Lust, something. The rest of it's cut
something,
off.
Something Dreams or something like that. I don't know.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's hear the song, and then we'll be back.
For the end of all days, the prophets are preaching that the gods are needing praise. The headlights are coming, showing me the way. The serpents are singing a song that's meant to say, oh, we need this faith. All we need is faith. Faith is all we need. Love. The desert is a calling. Of space, the hunger of a lion is written on your face. Maniacs, new
107.3 on your dial. 107.3 makes you smile. It's local. 107.3 FM.
I hope you're smiling, as suggested by that that delightful station ID. We just heard 30 Seconds to Mars, End of All Days. Not as annoying as I thought it would be. Right. And I'm not going to sit down and listen to it again, but when I get home. But I'm not going to make fun of you for it. So, I was going to ask you to compare the two shows, but I don't care about those other shows. Let's what has been your specific No Jokes Barred experience, both in performing and as an audience member so far in St. John, New Brunswick.
In what regard do you mean?
Whatever regard you had when you watched it, what did you think? When you performed on it, how was it? How did it go? What did you think before? What did you think after? Just give me all the details.
I'm on
the edge of my seat. All right. Oh, and this is Matt Keenan, by the way. I'm not sure if I introduced you again on this break, but...
But you did now. I don't know, the experience, I think... I enjoy it. I like... Because it's kind of like... I feel like you can see stuff in its early forms that you wouldn't see in maybe like a big show. You kind of get them, you know what I mean? It's like the open mic feel, the feel that not everyone is going to get to see. Plus, my thoughts in performing too is I can do the stuff that I would be too afraid to do in front of the shows that someone who might know my mom or dad would go to.
Yeah, our bar is a good place to hide out. And a lot of people don't really ever have that experience of the seeing people work it out or see somebody try something that may or may not do well. Because most people's experience of comedy is seeing like a big comedy special on Netflix or on TV or something, or like a big show that you paid like a bunch of money to come see. I like seeing a polished show, but if you're like a real comedy fan, I think it's really interesting to hear the working it out and the untested stuff, just because, I don't know, something special might happen.
Well, yeah, it's because it can go terrible.
Yeah.
And then...
Which is also fun to watch.
Exactly. It's almost fun to be on both sides, because I wouldn't say I've completely bombed a set yet. I thought I did in Bathurst, but then nobody really did well for that show, so it's kind of just the whole 12 people that were there weren't really paying attention.
Yeah, I went up and did that one a couple of months ago, and there was more than 12 people, so you must have been there on an off night. And when you went up, was it an all English show or was it one of the mixed ones?
I did two. I did one in January with Sam Layman and Travis Boyce. We all went up together, and Eric Chason was on that show as well. That one had a good crowd. I closed the show out, so they kind of warmed the crowd up for me, which went well. That one was fun. The next go-around was last month, and Shane was supposed to be on that show, but they were calling for a storm that night, so he backed out. And then Nate asked me to take over, and then I was going to drive Sam up to that one, and then Sam backed out. Yeah. And then Ben McDonald was going up, so I was like, Ben, if I go to Frederick, do you want to carpool? So then we went up, and then Matt Richardson was supposed to be on, and he backed out. So there was me, Ben, and then Darren Huckster. He did...
he was at the Hubcap.
Yeah, he did Hubcap with us. So he did it, and I think we all went for like 20 minutes, and I was trying not to do a whole lot of material that I had done from before that, so most of it was just me trying to think of stuff as I was kind of going. But
yeah, well, there is a bit of pressure to constantly have new material here, but I don't know. It makes sense that you don't want to repeat it more at the same show twice, but if you don't have anything, it's better to do good stuff twice than just go up with nothing.
Because when Nate asked me, I was like, I don't have anything prepared, but I'll throw together like 10 minutes of stuff that I knew I hadn't done there.
Yeah.
And then he's like, can you go for 20? And I was like, So I think I might have thrown like 3 or 4 minutes of stuff that I had done there before, and then 5 minutes of just whatever I thought of as I was kind of performing. And nobody seemed to care. There was like one or two people that you get the odd laugh, but
that sounds like I still enjoy doing it, and it's good to just, it's slightly better than practicing alone in your basement, even if there's nothing going on, just to hear the sound of your own voice coming through the speakers, because I don't know if you've had this experience, but something makes sense in my head. It still kind of makes sense when I write it down, but as soon as I say it out loud, I'm like, that
doesn't... Yeah, because I kind of just go over in my head what I plan on saying.
Yeah.
And then... So I never really practice a whole lot. Like, everything that I write is just short.
Yeah.
Usually 30 seconds to, like, a minute long. And then I'll take that and take what works, and then maybe I'll try to add a little bit to it so that I'm not up there trying... If I'm doing a 10-minute set, trying to remember 20 different jokes, I'm trying to remember...
Yeah.
Kind of different segments. And, like, I'll go up and I'll perform it, and sometimes then once it's coming in, I'm like, that is terrible. That's no... Never again.
Yeah, and that's what you should be doing. Like, this is a weird little microcosm of comedy, and in most places, all you do is just open mics with no audience for years and years and years. Yeah. Like, to even the pittance of $10 I probably paid you at the R Bar is a billion times more than a lot of people in some places make in five years.
You see the show, like, in the bigger cities where, like, you have to pay just to get
Yeah,
you had to bring people.
Which is still appreciated.
Well, yeah, for sure.
But it's not a requirement.
But like, if you were to go to town and try it in a place you've never been to, and you're like, okay, I got to try and handle flyers or bring someone just so I can get up there.
Yeah, yeah, it's good to not have that pressure. And I kind of have the opposite experience. Like, I wish that I could write just like a quick setup punchline jokes, but I'm just not really wired that way. Like, if I think of something, I'm usually pretty excited about it, and I find a way to shoehorn it into a big ramble about something or other. But
when I first thought I would try it, everything I wrote was kind of stories.
Yeah,
and then I just found, like, for me to sit there and trying to remember word for word that 5-minute story and then say it, and what if it doesn't go well, kind of thing. So then I just kind of started going smaller and then just trying to add bits by bits by bits. So eventually I could get to that story phase, but just kind of have a little bit of,
that's how most people do it. Well, Mark Splude says, like, he's surprised. Like, most people start out with jokes, and then they kind of, if they're going to go that way, eventually they lead into stories. I'm kind of backwards, and I started stories, and then I learned how to put jokes in them.
Yeah.
And doing the biggest thing for doing the comedy open mics with a limited time frame is it forced me to kind of have to be more concise with something. Because when I first think of it, I think, like, especially if it's a true story, I need to include every event that actually happened, whether it's adding anything to the story or it even matters or it's funny or not. And having to trim something down to a certain length just forces you to make, like, hard cuts. And even if I've got to shorten the 10-minute set down to 7, I really got to look at it and think of, like, what... Like, I want to keep it all, but what's, if I have to cut something, what's going to make it so that it still makes sense? But on the other hand, it's easier to remember a 10-minute long set if I'm just telling one story.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be word for word. When I started out, it definitely was. I would sit in my basement and I would tell the story to my cat, like, 5 times before even leaving the house to go get ready for the show. And then I would look at it ahead of time. I would go hang out in the alley and tell it to myself again. I don't know. It's better if you can be more comfortable at it, but that takes a little while. But you've been coming along pretty good. You're only a couple of months in.
I'm trying.
I think you might be one of the earliest people to make the leap onto to No Jokes Bar Deluxe. And
with my whole 1 hour bar show. I'm just gonna
after 4 months. And I did that because we were on the hubcap contest together, and you did very well. You came in 3rd place on that, and I was I wanted to encourage the young talent, so I offered you an illustrious spot.
Well, I appreciate
No Jokes Fired Deluxe, which he's going to be on April 7th at O'Leary's. I will be headlining that one, and Ben McDonald is on it, plus a mystery guest. Who could it be? We don't know. I'm going to play another song, and then let's talk about some other shows that you've been doing, just how it's been going, and let's see what you got coming up.
Sounds good to me.
Let's see if we can wash that taste of 30 Seconds of Mars out of our ears. Let's play a new Mastodon song called Sultan's Curse. St. John Forward Radio.
I have learned
We're back on St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. I'm here with Matt Keenan. So we've just been talking about shows you've been up to. You've also done some shows with local legend James Mullinger. Yeah. You're going to be in the upcoming Comedy Boot Camp. When's that show?
April 2nd, so it's 2 weeks from April yesterday.
2nd. All right. That's at the Yuck Yucks Club. Yeah. You did a show at the high school with James.
Yeah, KVHS last Wednesday was their Safe Grad fundraiser show.
So that was the one that you had to write some clean material for.
Yeah,
how'd that go?
It better than I was expecting, because initially Travis was doing the show, Travis Boyce, last month, and then it got snowed out and rescheduled. And then it got rescheduled the day of the Brad Paisley concert, and Travis was going to that, so he couldn't. So then James asked me, and he said, you can do anywhere from 5 to 15. And I was like, clean? And I was like, I'm going to shoot for 15 just to do it. So I kind of threw it all together, and then it got snowed out again and rescheduled, and then Travis was able to do it. So then it was 6 to 8 minutes. So I was like, okay, that's not too bad. And I was able to use... The majority of the jokes I use are jokes that I just had to retweet slightly just to...
Yeah, okay. So you already had stuff there that you just had to clean up.
Yeah,
you weren't starting completely from
scratch. I was worried that I had to... Because I wanted to take up that whole 15 I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I think I might have did 3 jokes that I had never done, and they all went over well for that crowd. So I don't know if they would go over well at... Maybe a show where everyone is like actual comedy junkies, but for people that are at a fundraiser show,
it's good to have that stuff in your pocket. I don't really have a lot of stuff at my disposal that I could even do a show like that, even this far in. I don't know what it is. Just every story that I think of has somebody dying or somebody getting effed.
Well, even mine was it's kind of edgy and dark, but I took the inappropriate words in, and then I mean there was still some jokes that I had that I just there was no way of cleaning up. So
yeah, I probably could do more of mine. I just honestly I don't have the opportunity where I need to do stuff like that. And it depends on what it is. I was briefly in talks. I don't know how they found me, but somebody was talking to me about doing a show for the staff at a nursing home, like in the afternoon. when I got there to meet them, I found out that it was also a Catholic nursing home. At least it wasn't for the residents, but still, I was going to figure it out. I reached out to James Mullinger when I got that offer, and I was just like, this is what happened. I don't know about this. And he gave me a good piece of advice, and he just said, say yes to do what he does and say yes to everything and figure it out later. And I was going to, but I must not have dazzled them when I went over to meet them. And yeah, it was probably just I just was not confident, and they I don't know. I think when people... like you're pretty soft-spoken too. Are people like, oh, you're a comedian? Like, I think they just expect us to be like super like hyped up.
And even like the people that I know, like when I told them that I was going to do it, they're like, no, you're not. Like behind closed doors, you're funny, but like when it comes to public, you just kind of I don't know. Like I used to be very shy, and I'm a little more out of that shell, but I'm still, like, I don't know, I'm not kind of, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, oh, on the same way, most people that I'm not, like, close I always forget how to say words. So it would call me shy. I prefer the term quiet than shy, because I mostly just don't have anything to say. It's not that I want to
talk about the weather.
Yeah, I hate small talk. Yeah, how often are you asked to tell someone a joke?
Oh, that's it's kind of annoying, actually.
Is it any easier when you have like a 30-second joke that you can tell them?
I'll go to my terrible one-liners that I very rarely actually use, and then they're like, "Oh," I'm like, "But that's not it's not who I am." Like, it's so hard, the setup. You need to almost set up the joke.
Yeah, and just the context of it is weird, especially at work. Like,
I tell jokes. Work is like. That's where they're pretty much my open mic.
Yeah.
So I run everything. I'll think of something and I'll just tell it to someone. And they either say that's terrible or that might work. And then even if they tell me it's terrible, I'll still try it.
Yeah, I work for my day job is also for a big bad corporation. And they do not appreciate a lot of things. There was a comedian who did my office Christmas party this year and had to be like church clean, not just regular clean, like extra church clean. And at our Christmas party, there's no booze or anything. They have like a loophole where they set it up like out in the hallway after like the main party is over. Or people just get hotel rooms and there's 30 people getting hammered in a tiny space instead of the huge hall that we have paid thousands of dollars to rent out.
That sounds like a terrible party.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I wasn't there. Yeah. I was a little concerned when I start seeing Matt Keenan posts come up in the Facebook about getting down into it and writing clean comedy. I'm just being, it's, no jokes barred means also clean stuff. You don't have to be super dirty.
No, I'm not gonna.
Part of me, just kind of when I see people on Facebook talking about, like, doing clean comedy, like, it's one thing to have to kind of clean it up if you have to, but, I don't agree so much with the kind of, sentiment, like, I'm not going to lean on profanity as a crutch, and to almost act as if it's not clean comedy is almost kind of lower form, and there can be, like, if you're just, like, swearing for the sake of swearing and just extra shock value, that's one thing, but, I don't know, to decide, I am not going to talk about sexual topics, because that's too easy, which, I don't know, that just sounds stupid. There's a way to do everything, including clean comedy.
Yeah, it's just like, because even, like, my clean comedy was really, I tried to find every loophole I could to still do what I want to do, just without the...
Were you still yourself doing your clean jokes?
Yeah, I was still, like, I wasn't, like, a whole new comedian kind of thing. It was exactly what I would do elsewhere, just slightly retweaked, so...
Yeah, and that's fine, but I might be just projecting, but it feels like sometimes when people are talking about that, they've just decided that I'm going to ignore my own natural instincts, and I'm going to write something that I think this audience will appreciate.
No. So everything, for the most part, pretty much everything that I'll tell is something that I think is funny.
Yeah.
And unless, like, if I need filler or something, if I'm trying to, I might do something that I think other people, regardless. But most of the time, I'm like, if I don't think that joke will go over well, it probably won't, so.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been doing it as much lately, but I've been trying to use crowd work more to kind of get out my dumb jokes that I would otherwise not let myself tell. Because if you're talking to somebody and you think of some stupid thing off the fly, I'm not going to have that kind of self-censorship, like, oh, that's cheesy or whatever. Like on Saturday, at the R Bar, the drunk guy that was in the front row that I had to deal with a bit, I asked him what his name was, and he said Dream, and I was like, okay, Mr. Dream, and then I was like, were you the last boss in Punch-Out? Which, if I thought of that at home while I was writing something, I would be ashamed of myself, and it would never see the light of day, but in the moment,
I said it anyway,
and got a laugh, so I regret nothing.
Yeah. No, in the moment, the other week when I hosted Wilsers, and I was like,
Yeah.
I had, like, literally, Brian asked me right before I was about to leave. And I was like, okay. Threw away everything that I had pretty well prepared and then just kind of said whatever.
Hosting's hard, even when you're prepared for it. I'd been doing it at the R-Bar for 2.5 years now, and I think I've only really kind of become comfortable with it probably in the last 6 months or so. I think since the Halifax bomb that got me blacklisted, I think I've come into it a little bit more. I don't know. So yeah, what have you got coming up? You got Comedy Boot Camp, you got No Jokes Bar Deluxe, April 6th. Anything else on the go?
April 7th,
whatever the Friday is.
Yeah. Those two, and then I think me and Ben McDonald are gonna take a little mini road trip to Halifax. And do Ian Black's show and Andrew Vaughn's. So.
And do you have a website, or is it mostly just Facebook that you're operating with?
No website yet. Maybe one day. But
see a lot of sponsored ads.
I know. Get
those shower curtains.
Just Matt Keenan Comedy on Facebook. That's all I've really...
Yeah, look it up on there. And as far as me, I'm also doing the No Jokes Bar Deluxe on April 7th. And then No Jokes Barred Regular, whatever the third Saturday in April is. I don't know what the date is. And that's all.